Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, we pray for the Queen, we pray for the King, we pray for the United Kingdom, because there's no freedom anymore. God save the Queen. I believe that you know what happened. If you are at all internet savvy and you go to the internet on a regular basis, you know what shock came today to Michael Savage after well over a 1 year of struggle, legal struggle. And I want to thank the thousands of you who have signed the petition to get my name off the ban list in England. 85,000 of you have bothered to do that. And for the tens of thousands of you who contributed to Legal Fund, I'm sorry to tell you that the new so-called conservative government has said drop dead to Michael Savage and, frankly, to all of the listeners of this show. Now, I told you that I feared this day was coming. I told you that when the so-called conservatives took over in England, that it probably would mean that nothing would change. Today, I was proven right. Today, I, Michael Savage, was told by new Conservative Party-led government of Prime Minister David Cameron that it will continue the ban on my entry into the United Kingdom. Apparently, there's been nothing more than a change of window figures in England. Okay, nothing has changed. Now, all governments are essentially amoral. I had hopes, but did not expect this new UK government to restore sanity to Britain. They're still pandering to the Muslim masses. To continue to martyr me by including me in a list of known murderers and terrorists is bad enough. But for the United States and Western media, which considered itself progressive, to continue to ignore this outrage against freedom of speech is indicative that the media and government are one and the same. Now, this includes the so-called conservatives. Has freedom of the press, I ask, become greedom of the press? Michael Savage banned by new UK conservative government. Let this be a lesson to anyone who thinks that if the Republicans win back the House this November, there will be any real change. Let this serve as a reminder that the Republicans will continue most of the same destructive policies that Obama has started, because he was only continuing what Bush had started. Okay, and let this serve as a warning to any member of the media, especially the conservative media, who thinks that their freedom of speech will flourish under a Republican Congress or Republican administration. The silence of big conservative media outlets has been deafening. Did you hear what I just said? Matt Drudge posted it. WorldNet Daily posted it. Jennifer Harper of the Washington Times posted it. And that's the end of it. So the next time you hear anyone call themselves a conservative, why don't you ask them why they don't cover this story, which is really a big story, incidentally, a major story, because it may have started in England. The banning of Michael Savage may have started with me, but this will come to America unless they are understanding that their freedom is at risk as well, and they may be the next target. Freedom of speech itself will die unless the so-called conservative media wakes up and realizes that its own life is at stake in this case. They can ignore Michael Savage for their own competitive reasons, but doing so will come at a very high cost. Michael Savage still on Britain's least wanted list. Talk radio host Michael Savage has waged a vigorous fight against the British government, hoping to have his name removed from a list of 16 undesirables banned from the country on May 5, 09 by then British Home Secretary Jackie Smith. I want to remind you that that list included actual murderers, people who had bashed in the heads of Jewish children with a rifle butt in Hamas. They were banned, but not apparently It didn't apply to the British themselves. Now, what do I say the British themselves? Do you remember not a few weeks ago the Islamic extremists in England who have threatened and demonstrated against the British troops returning from war? Do you remember that? You remember the British Muslims who gave a vile reputation to all other responsible British Muslims? They were not banned, but Mr. Savage has been banned anyway. One listener in England has already said Mr. Savage should visit Ireland instead. It's much nicer anyway. Again, I want to say to all of you who have signed the petition to get my name off that list, 85,000 people, I want you to think about that. Do you know of any organization that has gotten a genuine 85,000 names like I have? Do you know of any organization who could get 85,000 names and yet only one congressman has come to my aid? Think about it. Only one congressman has written on my behalf. That's John Culberson of Texas. This is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. What I want to do for you is this. I want you to go back in time with me. I want you to hear some of the original interviews by the BBC and CNN and some of the other amazing interviews we did when this first happened, because I can guarantee you it is going to happen again. Let us begin with clip number two with the BBC talking about being banned from the UK.
I was shocked, angered. How in the world could I be linked with known murderers, people who have been put in prison for years for killing people, hey, openly, when I am simply speaking, talking for 15 years on the radio, writing best-selling books? It was shocking to believe this is coming out of England, a country I've always loved and admired, specifically for its freedoms.
Of course, the Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, has said that the reason you were banned is because the things that you say foment hatred, engaging people in spreading hatred as well. What do you say to the reasons behind the ban?
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. There are millions of people who agree with me, not only in America, but around the world. Now, you can take sound bites from an individual and turn them into anything you want. But if you actually listen to what I said about these things, it might be a different individual that you're hearing. I don't know which show Jackie heard or when she heard it, but I'm not broadcast in England. So obviously she was given some selected sound bites by individuals who detest my points of view and are trying to skewer me. That's not freedom of speech, nor is that fair. The issue is that in America, the First Amendment was written to protect offensive speech. We don't need a First Amendment to protect polite speech, do we? I mean, everyone engages in polite speech. What do we need protections for? It's speech which provokes thought that is considered offensive and hateful by those who disagree with you, isn't it? And so, therefore, it's only speech we're talking about, not the acts of murderers. And to lump me in with murderers is defaming me. It's libeling me.
The American talk show host Michael Savage has been reaffirmed to have been banned entry into the United Kingdom by the new Conservative administration. I realize many of you don't even understand the ramifications of such a situation. And many of you say, well, big deal. Why do you want to go there anyway? That is not the issue. My freedom of movement has been curtailed by a nation that once had Winston Churchill as the leader. My freedom of association, my freedom of speech has been banned by the nation that gave the world the Magna Carta and so many other elements of the freedoms that we enjoy. And yet you see a government now that calls itself conservative, that says it would repudiate the things done by the socialist government of Gordon Brown, doing exactly the same thing. Do you understand this or not? Do you want to talk about this or not? Because I do. Conservative Party in England demands repudiation of violent statements. Did you hear this? Now, I don't know what violent statements they mean, because every one of those statements was taken out of context by the Soros-funded Media Matters and sent to their cohorts in England. And moreover, I want to ask you something. They have Muslims in England who spit at their own troops 2 weeks ago and threatened their own troops, calling them murderers 2 weeks ago. Is that not going to provoke inter-community violence? I didn't see them kick those Muslims out of England, did you? Moreover, some mass murderers from Cuba have been invited to the United Kingdom. Mass murderers from Cuba, people who have imprisoned fellow revolutionaries for well over 25 or 30 years, have been invited to England. So the world is upside down, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely upside down. If you want to help in some way, you don't want to hear this, I can understand that. After all, another man's woes are not your problem. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to just sign the petition, we have 85,000 names thus far. Maybe when we make it to a million names, someone will get the message here in America. Come the election time, congressmen and senators in the U.S., maybe you'll come to understand that I may just use the influence I have on this show to make sure you're damn never elected again, even though you have an R next to your name. I will make sure you're never elected again. Unless you go to bat for me, I'll make sure you're not elected again. How's that? Does that work for you? I've had one congressman act on my behalf, one only. Now, you want to hear the real irony here? We appeal to Hillary Clinton to go to bat for me as an American citizen. You say, well, why should she? She's a liberal Democrat. Precisely. Precisely because she and the others pose as progressives who believe in liberalism and believe in freedom. After all, what does the word liberal mean? It means free. Well, if you're a liberal and you believe in freedom, you should say, you know what, even though I find his speech repugnant, even though I disagree with everything he has said or may have said, he still has the right to say it, and we want you to take his name off the list. But Hillary Clinton did not do that. So don't expect anything out of liberals, by the way, any more than you'd expect out of the Bush conservatives or out of Andrew Breitbart or Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly. Expect nothing but Republican hackdom. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Anything that you have said or any of your views that you think might provoke people to violence?
Let me clear the record on that. Jackie Smith's homepage on the Home Secretary's page states that my words have led to violence, which is a total fabrication. None of my words have ever led to violence for the simple reason that I don't call for violence. I don't provoke violence. And moreover, I want to say that provoking violence is illegal in the United States as well. How in the world can she allege that my words have caused violence while I'm still on the air all these 15 years?
Yeah, right. So then they say that my views could cause intra-community violence if I were allowed into the United Kingdom. I want to ask you, what about the Muslims who spit at the returning British soldiers 2 weeks ago and called them murderers and every such thing? Do you think that has provoked intra-community violence, and yet they didn't ban them? So you see, this is quite a selective ban, and it's very convenient for them to include an American conservative talk show host on the ban list in order to make it look like they're not just picking on their indigenous Muslim terrorists who are living over there, by the way. There's not much more I can say to you. The fact is that I'm in very good company. Now, look, if I want to turn it into something comedic, I would become Groucho Savage and say any country that would admit me, I wouldn't want to visit. But I'm not Groucho Savage. I can be. I mean, I've been put on a banned list with madmen who had murdered Jewish children by bashing in the children's skulls with rifle butts from Hamas. Do you know that? So let me repeat it so you don't know so you do know what's going on, because many of you are idiotic and don't know anything. All you do is Twitter and text, but you really don't know the first thing about reality. Michael Savage is not allowed to visit Britain. You say, what do I care? Well, the fact is that you have to ask why I'm not allowed to visit Britain. They say that I can promote this or that, and I'm hateful and this. And yet I'm put on a list with madmen from Hamas who were in prison for having murdered little Jewish kids by bashing in their skulls during a terrorist event with rifle butts. On a list with Islamofascists who had threatened to overthrow the British government. On a list with violent Nazi skinheads who were serving 10-year sentences for murder in Russia. This is pure insanity. How can you put me in the same league with mass murderers when I have never avowed violence? I wouldn't be on the radio for 15 minutes, let alone 15 years. And so, look, my views are shared by tens of millions of people in the United States. Tens of millions of people in the United States, not only those who listen to my show, some who haven't even heard of me agree with what I say. But around the world, this revolution has been heard around the world, by the way. And so if you want to join in and talk about my being banned in Britain, you can give me a call at 1-800-449-8255. I truly believe it's a conspiracy, incidentally. I believe that it's the New World Order that has banned Michael Savage, and I believe that it runs from the White House to 10 Downing Street, and I believe that there's a conspiracy to do this with me as the fall guy, whatever, so that the others are intimidated to not go too far in their commentary, which is why I believe that's why the others tend to toe the party line and choose sides, one side or the other, in the conspiracy of fraud. In other words, how many times have I said the two-party system is a sham? Like every day that I've been on the air for 15, 16 years, I said there's virtually no difference between the two parties except in window dressing. And it's true, by the way. So the fact is that I'm a threat to the established order in the United States. And anyone in England who would dare say that there's no difference between Labour and Conservative would also be considered persona non grata, but they'd be proven right by this act, wouldn't they? Would they not be proven right today? Ladies and gentlemen, let me present that argument to you. In other words, let's say someone in England was screaming, what's the difference if we elect Cameron? He's going to continue the policies of Brown in one way or another. They would have said, oh, don't be ridiculous. We need change. We need change. So they bring over the stooge who ran Obama's campaign to run Cameron's campaign, which I saw, by the way. I knew it was over. The minute I saw that they brought over the same guy who ran Obama's campaign, I said, this is all a sham in the whole Western Hemisphere. Do you really think you have freedom of speech? Do you really think you're a free man? Are you free because you can go on the internet and look at pornography day and night? That makes you a free man? What defines your freedom? Let me ask you what defines your freedom. You know, Friday night after the show, I went to a religious service. Actually, it was a religious dinner before a service. I'm not into the service as much as the dinner. So I was there, and they had a group of young girls, 16, 17 years old, who were camp counselors in there. They were the sweetest young girls I had seen, and I whispered to Mrs. S. I said, I haven't been in a room with as many virgins since I was in junior high school. And she got a kick out of that one. Because when you're around purity like that, you can feel it. And I sat there and I ate. And you know, when I was leaving, I said something to these young girls. I don't have the time right now. I'm compressed. I can't compress what I said to them. But I want to share with you what I said to these religious young girls. The purest girls I had seen since junior high school when I returned in the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Michael Savage banned in Britain again. We had thought with the coming of the conservative regime under Mr. Cameron, there would be a change. You know, shockingly, I got to tell you this. I have kept quiet about this for 6 to 9 months. You know that. We were working behind the scenes. And frankly, we have a letter from the conservative people going back a year ago. And they had assured my attorneys in England that they were against the list of banned people, not just for me, but they were going to drop the list entirely. They didn't believe in it. They didn't believe in it. They didn't want it. They didn't think it was right. And they were going to drop the whole list. Well, I guess that's what politicians do, is they say one thing and they do another. What more do you need to know than to look at Mr. Brown from Massachusetts? What more do you need to know than I told you Brown would be no different once he was elected? Remember when he took Kennedy's seat? You thought it represented literally a break, like the holy waters had been separated, the Red Sea had been parted, and Moses had appeared in Brown. I told you, don't expect it. He's just a politician. And boy, was I right. He now said he's going to go along with Obama's banking bill. See, go along, get along. So I don't expect much from politicians, that's all. But let me continue for a minute. If you want to read about the banned in Britain thing all over again, Michael Savage banned by new UK government, WorldNet Daily on michaelsavage.com. We've also posted Michael Savage still banned in Britain from the Washington Times. They're very important stories. They're fundamental to freedom of speech. Now, I want to go back to something, then I'll come back to this. So I go to this religious dinner Friday night. There are about 10 girls, 16, 17 camp counselors. They're all pure. These girls are not even allowed to date boys until they're ready to marry them. I don't know if you know anything about worlds like that. They're unlike children that you know who are encouraged to have sex in the first grade in the United States. They're given condoms in the United States in the first grade. These people live in another world. You might say a backward world, a Puritan world. I say God bless them. So as I said, I'm sitting there and I whisper to Mrs. S. I haven't been around as many virgins since junior high school. She got a real kick out of that one. She's not easy to make laugh. This one got a real roar out of her. Anyway, so I sat through the dinner, this and that. As I was leaving, I went over to the young ladies, and many of them, by the way, had grown up in New York listening to this show since the time they were 5, 6, 7 years old. Either their father had listened to it. They're not allowed to watch television, by the way, in this group. They cannot watch television because it's known to be such vile imagery that they're not allowed to watch. So I said, but you're allowed to listen to radio. I said, why? And they explained to the difference between radio and TV and blah, blah, blah. So they said, you know, I've been listening to you since I'm 8 or 5 or 7, and now I'm 17, and it's amazing to meet you and this and that. So they loved my voice, and I said, girls, I said very nicely, I said, you know, when you look around in the world, you see beautiful clothing, you see beautiful jewelry, you see beautiful cars, you see shoes that cost $5,000 a pair, you see the girls from Hollywood looking so elegant and so gorgeous. I said, but do you ask yourself why most all of them end up in alcohol or drug rehab and they can't even complete a course in alcohol or drug rehabilitation, that they're continuously in rehab? It's because their souls are screaming out for what you have. I said, you may not have the cars and the jewelry and the clothing, but you have something that those girls in America are dying for, and that's something that is forever lost to them, and that's God. I said, what you have inside of you is the kingdom of God is inside you. And I can feel it in them. I want to tell you, when you're around people who are really living that world, and I don't care what the religion is, when they are invested in God and God is invested in them, and I don't want to get too preachy, I'm just telling you, this is a fact of reality as sure as I'm sitting here. I know many of you are materialists and you can't even follow what I'm saying because you don't believe that the spiritual world exists or that it can exist. I see it when it exists. So I said to them, what you have inside of you is what they want, and they can't get it. And that's why they're always reaching to fill themselves with drugs or alcohol or partying or whatever. And that's all I said. Just remember that you have what they want. And I left it at that. I didn't say so, therefore, anything. Whether they really heard me, they're just young girls, I don't really know. I hope they did. I hope if they're listening to the show today that they recognize I was speaking from one soul to another. And I am making another point, which is that so far England has not stolen my soul from me. They have not taken away my spirit. They have not taken away my belief in myself, nor what I stand for, nor who I actually am. They have not besmirched my name inside me. They have not shamed me because I haven't done anything wrong. In fact, most people in England probably would agree with everything that I've ever said. Most people in America, the majority, believe in what I've said. Yeah, that's right. They believe in borders, language, and culture. Unfortunately, the people who lead us today are leading us astray. They're leading us away from our nation. They're leading us away from our borders, away from our language, away from our culture. They're leading us into a new world order that is so despotic and so dangerous that the people themselves know it. And I have been chosen. Once again, I have been chosen. Just as Moses was chosen to part the Red Sea, I have been chosen for this. And believe me, I'm up to the job. Thank you, God, for picking me. That's all I can say. 1-800-449-8255. You know, when I was banned in 09... Do you know who actually said the ban was wrong? Of course, some conservatives did, but the ACLU said it was wrong. The Council on American-Islamic Relations said it was wrong. The ACLU said it was wrong. I haven't heard from them since, by the way. They never took up my case. They should. If anything would prove they really believed in freedom of speech, the ACLU would say, Savage, you old devil, you, we hate you, you hate us, but we're gonna back you. Never heard from them. They're too busy trying to undermine America to really do the right thing. And that's why if you're a liberal and you give money to the ACLU, don't be a fool. You're really being a schmuck. They're not going to represent the real freedoms that you think you want represented. Trust me. All right, let's take the calls. Arva, New York, WOR. Let's begin with you. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I'm Arye. I just wanted to tell you that I'm a liberal who disagrees with almost everything you broadcast every day. But I'm very affronted as a liberal by what Britain's doing to you, and I want to tell you that when I get home, I'm going to sign your petition to support your right to freedom of speech.
Well, as they say, look, politics does make strange bedfellows indeed. You wanted me to tell you what I think really caused this? You remember a few years ago, if you've been listening to this show, George Bush tried to pull a fast one on America. He wanted to turn over the security to 9 of our ports to his good friends in the United Arab Emirates. Does anyone remember that case? The UAE deal when he tried the Dubai ports deal. Do you remember that, Arye? Were you listening then?
I was not, no.
Well, in those days, Bush tried to pull a fast one on us. He wanted to turn the security of New York's port and many other ports over to a group in Dubai. And I went nuts. I said, are you crazy? You can't trust those people. And even if you can trust them, they all have cousins who might be related to terrorists who can get in there. They could smuggle an atom bomb into New York. Well, I had thousands of people write to Congress. And do you know that Charles Schumer himself came on this show? A man who I have basically put down in the show every day for 10 years. And we agreed on that. So you see, there are times when good conservatives and good liberals can agree. And this is one of them, Ari.
Yeah, good.
All right. Thanks for having the guts to call the show. I appreciate it. 1-800-449-825 at michaelsavage.com. Chicago, Al, you're up. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Mike, I need to know why you can ban in Britain and maggots like the guy in Philly from the Black Panther Party are free to say whatever they want throughout the United States and wherever.
Oh,
and
you mean the wonderful Black Panther, Shabazz Malaz, Mahouz Malaz, who said that he got to kill some crackers and their babies? So far as I know, he might be invited for a personal interview with the Queen.
But isn't it hate speech in the United States? I mean, if I said that on the corner, they'd go nuts.
Well, I would think bringing a club in a military uniform to a polling booth and calling for people's death would be considered a crime, but not in America. If you're a minority, I guess you could do that.
I've
said in this show, what if a Nazi showed up with a club and a swastika and went into a Jewish neighborhood and said, don't vote and slurred Jewish people? Do you think the Justice Department would look into that?
He'd be slayed. He'd be slayed and raked.
Well, I think Eric Holder would probably pursue that case, but apparently he doesn't think that the same thing conducted by the Black Panthers is worthy of pursuit.
You got to hang in there, Mike, because everybody else is going nuts. I just don't get it anymore. It's just,
well, I hear you. I hear you. When all those around you are losing their minds and blaming it on you, then you are a man, my son. Shall I play It for you right now by Rudyard Kipling? If you can, what was it? If you can, blah, 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 then you are, if you can keep your, whatever, I forget. It's pretty good stuff, If. Do you have If in front of you, Beowulf? I'm not going to read it now. I'll start to sound like Blagojevich, who listened to my show and got it, and then when he was in trouble, he read it, If. Remember on the air? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So let's do this. We could play I Rule Britannia. That's a joke. That's a playoff on I Rule Britannia. I change it to I Rule, for those of you into words, R-U-E. Instead of Britannia, it's Brutania. That's just for your own. Let's say you're into word games. All intelligent people are into word games, but you have to know what the words mean to begin with. I don't really rule Britannia, although I did sell my last Jaguar 15 years ago. I must admit it. That could be the real reason behind this. Is that I did sell my last Jaguar 10 years ago. That could be the reason, is that I had bought a Mercedes because I was tired of parts falling off the back of the car. There wasn't a net big enough to catch the pieces that fell off the Jaguars. I have not yet been banned from Ireland. In fact, I'm telling you, I had threatened last year that if this kept up, I would take 10,000 listeners, or however many of you want to join me, and we would go to the Republic of Ireland, we would go to the border with England, and we would put on quite a show for the Brits. You know, remember what the Irish have put up with the Brits, for how long they put up with it, by the way. Remember how long they've been oppressed, the Irish? Put down, smeared. The kind of Irish jokes that the British always told each other, thinking they were superior just because they had a bigger army. Remember that? Yeah, well, I'm not banned in the Republic of Ireland. It's probably a nice place to go. I actually like Irish whiskey. I'm one of the few people who actually prefers Irish whiskey to single malt scotch, although I don't drink much of it. I truthfully do like Irish whiskey better on a cold day. I have more pedestrian tastes than you may imagine. So you could see, you know, you could tell by my ebullience, I'm really not going to be crying to you about this. I'm not going to eat my heart out over it. You know, does anyone listen to this show regularly? Do you remember a dream I had a few weeks ago? Do you remember the dream I told you about the two wolves, the two black wolves that were outside? And I think I had my children with me when they were young in this dream, and the wolves were circling me, and I had nowhere to go. My back was against the wall. My friends, I told you that the dreams speak to you. I know they speak to me. I'm very much in touch with my subconscious, which is in touch with the elements in the universe that my conscious is not in touch with, okay? That's only one of the wolves that we heard from today, Britain. There's another one coming. I'm telling you right now, although today I am confident, some horrible thing is about to happen very shortly because the next wolf is circling and I don't know which direction it's coming from. I know it. I am telling you as I stand here. The next wolf is going to come from the least expected place. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now. All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore.
We contacted the Home Office again today, and they said they absolutely stand by their decision to exclude you. Quote, coming to the UK is a privilege that we refuse to extend to those who abuse our standards or values and undermine our way of life. What do you say to that?
Well, I would have thought that one of the standards and values of British life would have been giving a person an opportunity to meet their accuser. I would have thought that one of the standards and values of the British people would be giving a person an opportunity to explain whether or not they meant what they read somewhere. I'd like to know where Jackie Smith got these excerpts, because I think I know where they came from. After all, my show is not broadcast in the United Kingdom. So who in the United States government sent these to Jackie Smith in an attempt to destroy the conservative movement in America?
There's no England anymore. Living on a thin line. Not a bad place to live, I gotta tell you. I've been on it for so long. Or as a singer's husband once said, I've been down so long it's starting to look like up to me. In fact, I'm down so long it is up to me. It doesn't matter to me. It's all about the same at this point. But anyway, here we are. I mean, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself and all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. You get that one? If you can walk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. I read it to my children when they were young. I learned it when I was young, and believe me, Rudyard Kipling had it exactly right. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's take the callers. Dan is a taxi driver listening on WOR in New York. He's been holding almost an hour. Dan, thank you very much. What's on your mind, Dan?
Michael, I truly believe there's a conspiracy against you. I believe there are people involved in our government and the government on the other side, because truth is a scary thing. And I've been listening to you for 7 years. I've listened to everybody. To me, you're the pit bull, the passionate pit bull for America's survival. And you, every time you come up with something, you say something, you can back it up, you give us facts.
Dan, I am not a pit bull. I'm an attack poodle. Please, I'm an attack poodle, not a pit bull.
But my point is, you're giving us truth, and I have to listen to you because I need the truth, because I want America to survive. We are in dire straits right now, and the fact that they have picked you, they're going to try to crush you. You are a target, and it disappoints me that our Secretary of State, Hillary, did not respond to you. You're a citizen, whatever her politics are.
She didn't respond to Congressman Culberson. It's not just me. He wrote on my behalf. He attached a petition with 80,000 signatures at that time to the Secretary of State. Do you know of one other case in this country where a petition of that size was ignored by the Secretary of State? I don't.
No, sir. And it's disappointing that even congressmen and senators, they know who you are. Everybody knows who you are and how they push you aside. They're afraid of truth. And truth is what American people need.
Well,
and
if Dan, borders, language, culture apparently is such a grave threat to the New World Order, that I have been chosen by God to part the Red Sea. Thank you for the call. What am I going to say? I mean, I wish I'd woke up today and I got a letter from my lawyer in England that said something else. I knew I was having too good a time last night. I took two friends to dinner in my favorite Italian restaurant, Aliotto's, in San Francisco. I did. I was having a good time. It was almost like the Last Supper. You know, every time, I hope it wasn't the Last Supper, but every time I really have a good time, I know the next day that the bomb's going to be dropped at my foot. That's the way it is. It's just the way life is. You know, I don't go out a lot. And a young kid came up to me from Chicago. He said, oh, I listen to you all the time on WIND. I'm going to, you know, take a picture with you. I said, no, thanks. He said, no. I said, no, I don't do pictures when I'm out. He said, well, why? I said, because with photoshopping, you could put my head on a donkey's behind and say I'm a Democrat. I said, no, please, no, no photographs. I had the best prosciutto in my life. My God, I just can't believe the food. Living well is the best revenge, I got to tell you. I wasn't exactly eating K rations. I mean, look, tonight's tonight. The show will end. What do you think I'm going to do? Walk the dog, have a dinner, have a drink. Whatever I do, I'm going to do. Until such time as I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? I think, by the way, that something terrible is coming to others in the media, only they don't even know it. Either they're so drunk on their own power and money that they don't even know it. I mean, they're so busy creating conservative universities for the stooges out there, they don't even understand what they're talking about. If this is not the principal case of what freedom really is and what it's all about and how a man is standing up to it and they should really rally behind it, I'd like to know what they're going to rally behind. But again, I want to go back to what I think caused all this so that you don't think I'm boring you to death. I really don't want to bore you to death at all. One thing I don't want to do is invest you in my problems to the exclusion of so many other things that are going on. There's a very important story on my website that only I... The story I saw elsewhere, but the headline is mine. Obama slips director of La Raza into high government post. He took Cecilia Munoz, and no one knows who she is, but I remember her name. She used to run La Raza. He put her into a job in the White House called intragovernmental affairs. Do you know what that means? She's a representative of the government of Mexico in the White House. That is why Eric Holder is suing the state of Arizona, because the state of Mexico, the government of Mexico, wants the state to be sued. And apparently Obama is an agent of a foreign government. Do you like that? Because that's what I think. Now, if you think that that's going to get me in trouble, you're right. It already has. Because I said the same damn thing under George Bush.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Many people think that the best way to escape war is to dwell upon its horrors and to imprint them vividly upon the minds of the younger generation. They flaunt the grisly photographs before their eyes. They fill their ears with tales of carnage. They dilate upon the ineptitude of generals and admirals. They denounce the crime and insensate folly of human strife.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler.
All wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore.
And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine.
All the lies we were told, all the lives of the people running round their castles are burned.
The German Führer and Chancellor and the British Prime Minister have had a further meeting today.
I see change, but inside we're the same.
That the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. Never to go to war with one another again.
That he will have to break up in this island.
Living this way, each day's a dream. What am I? What are we supposed to be?
Or lose the war.
Living on a thin line. Tell me now, what are we supposed to do?
The Battle of Britain is about to begin.
Does it matter much? Does it matter much to you? Does it ever really matter? Yes, it really, really matters. Living on a thin line.
about the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples.
Now all this teaching ought to be very useful in preventing us from attacking or invading any other country, if anyone wished to do so. But how would it help us if we were attacked or invaded ourselves? That is the question we have to ask. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization. Upon it depends our own British life and the long continuity of our institutions and our empire.
Living on a Thin Line by the Kinks, intercut with various and sundry sound pieces. You've just heard radio history being made once again in the Savage Nation, the true Radio Hall of Fame. This is the real Radio Hall of Fame with things done in the show, never have been done before, never will be done again. But I got to tell you something. When I listen to Winston Churchill, I am stirred to this day. And I want to remind you who you have in the White House today. One of Obama's first acts was to get rid of a bust of Winston Churchill, the man who stood fiercely in the face of Adolf Hitler. Now, you got to ask yourself, why would Obama, a minority himself, or at least a half minority himself, why would he choose to get rid of a bust of Winston Churchill as one of his first official acts? Ask yourself who you have in the White House. Now go to the next step and put two and three together. You'll come up with 17, if you can still add. Michael Savage, after months of legal wrangling, the new British government, the Conservatives, have said that they're going to keep Michael Savage on the list of banned individuals. So in other words, they've changed window dummies in England, but the powers that be are still in charge. Whoever the bankers are who control the Western Hemisphere are still in charge. That's if there are bankers in control of the Western Hemisphere. I'm not sure who's in control of anything. But I got to tell you this. I'm in very good company. Because of politics in both England and the U.S., and because I stopped the Dubai ports deal, I believe that is why I've been banned from traveling to Britain. Now, I've been falsely accused because of the views I express on this radio show. But remember this. I began my professional career as a writer. Of course, I don't compare myself to the writers I'm about to mention, but they were my mentors, and there have been quite a few books banned in quite a few nations over the years. Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, banned. I grew up on him. Banned in Ireland in 1932. I read everything that Huxley wrote, including his magazine articles on furniture. Candide, Voltaire, seized by U.S. Customs in 1930. Dr. Zhivago, one of the great books. Boris Pasternak, banned within the ex-Soviet Union until 1988 because it criticized the Bolshevik Party. Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift. Banned in Ireland, 1984 by George Orwell. Banned by the USSR in 1950 because Stalin, the mass murderer, thought it was a view on his country in the future. The Satanic Verses by Rushdie, banned. The Sorrows of Young Werther by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, banned. Why? Because the sorrows encourage suicidal deaths in susceptible individuals, they thought. Now, here's a shocker for you. Did you know that The Call of the Wild by Jack London had been banned in Yugoslavia and Italy? I don't have any idea why. But those are some of the books that have been banned. So if Michael Savage is now amongst those authors who have been banned, I think I'm in very good company indeed. And if you'd like to read Banned in Britain, you can go to michaelsavage.com because it was never available in bookstores. It's sure to be a collector's item now. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. If you care to talk about the big story today, the bombshell that you've read on the Drudge Report from the morning, you can do that by calling the Savage Nation. Sacramento, Nathan, welcome to the program. You're up.
Michael, if Winston Churchill was alive today, he would be banned because he's a thought provoker, and he provoked that, you know, the freedoms of everything that is embodied.
You know, Winston Churchill said that the first thing socialists would do would be ban speech that they considered to be inflammatory because they were unable to support their positions. But if that was what you would expect from socialists, why are we getting it from the so-called conservatives in England, is the question. The answer is because it's only window dressing.
Because they are wolves in sheep clothing.
I think they're sheep in wolves' clothing. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Michael Savage. Donato in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, not only is it an honor to speak with you, it's also a greater honor to go to bat for you. I was one of the 85,000 who signed the petition. I just canceled my trip to England in October. I don't see myself ever going there again. And
wow.
Furthermore, as far as the media goes, it doesn't surprise me because their media is totally controlled by Soros and the left. Just watch what happened with the World Cup this past month. They didn't put one criticism out there to planes being delayed, to fields being totally unplayable. And the reason why is because they wanted to paint this picture. And you were the only one in the media who brought this up. They wanted to paint this picture in a post-apartheid South Africa.
You mean the wonders of South Africa. They didn't report on the fact that it's the highest rate of infant rape in the world, the highest rate of carjacking and homicide in the world, one of the highest rates of AIDS in the world. Oh, no, no, you don't want to hear any of that because the world is supposed to believe that under this new administration, things are just perfect in the new perfect Soviet South Africa.
Exactly. And there's a reason why Madeleine Albright and all of her cronies were so interested in this tournament. They're the ones who profited off of it. I mean, all the problems that South Africa had are not going to go away now they have the World Cup there, and they didn't even do a good job with the tournament. So it doesn't surprise me at all that England the media is not going to say anything at all about this. It's a crime against humanity. They're putting you on a list with murderers. I'm not going to go there anymore.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Here's a shocker just came up on the Drudge Report. Mort Zuckerman, the media mogul, said that he wrote one of Obama's speeches. Now, this is amazing to you, but not to me. Mort Zuckerman, who has postured as a conservative for a long while now, Mort Zuckerman, it turns out, was actually secretly writing speeches for Obama. He exposed that on Fox News. What does that tell you? Doesn't it tell you that they're all full of it? Doesn't it tell you they're all liars? Don't you understand yet what you have here? You have a Democrat party, you have the government media complex, and when a guy like me who's a true independent, I practically define the word in the media. I practically define the word in the media. Now, immigration today is a very contested issue. It's on everyone's lips. It's causing international strife. Do you know who's been on this issue longer than anybody in the media? It's Michael Savage. When I began in 1994 on this radio show on a local station, my call was borders, language, and culture. No one has been on this topic longer than I. Do you know that the city of San Francisco actually condemned me several years ago for daring to say that illegal immigrants have no right to a free education in America? Do you know that they almost rioted outside a radio station saying I was this and that? They called me every name under the sun. I am actually a national hero. The world is so upside down that men like me are reviled while the vermin in the streets are held up as role models. And that's because you're not strong enough. That's because you are not outspoken enough. That's because you have not yet been unified by the David of this nation, because there has not been yet a David of this nation. We need a King David to unify the Tea Party movement and take all of these anti-Americans and throw them out of office and reassert the dignity and sovereignty of the United States of America. We need that King David. He doesn't exist. I'll be right back. Britannia to Brutania in one generation. I have a question for the audience. Why do you think the new administration has continued the ban on Michael Savage? In other words, let's say they're a little different than the Socialist Labor Party under Brown. I mean, there must be some difference somewhere. I don't know what they've done that's any different, if any at all. I don't really know whether there is any difference in any other sphere of their political realm. I don't really know if they've done anything else, by the way, that's different than their predecessors. I truly don't. Maybe someone from Britain can tell me if they've continued all policies, including this one, because they told my lawyers a year ago they totally oppose such lists. They're going to eliminate such lists when they take power. And we have waited patiently for nearly a year. We've invested a fortune in legal fees behind the scenes and diplomatic maneuvers and whatnot, all to no avail. And here we wake up today, and I get a letter from my lawyers in England. The first thing I wake up, I said, oh, no, not again. It was very short and succinct, but basically they said the same thing that the British Labour government had said under Gordon Brown. I had expected more from Cameron. In a way, I did. I hoped for more, but I didn't really expect more. Let's put it to you that way. So as I said, I had a dream a few weeks ago. The two black wolves were circling me, and I had my young children with me at the time. And I had my back. I was moving back towards a... There was an area where there was nowhere to go. Like, my back was to almost like a mountain back. And the wolves were circling very slowly. I saw their eyes. I had no weapons with me, and I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. And here we are. There's one of the wolves. I don't know where the other one's going to come from, but it will come as sure as I'm standing here. But truthfully, I have faith in God, and I know that the right shall prevail here. It's as simple as that. I know I'm right. I know they're thugs. I know they're wrong, and I know that eventually I'm going to win. New York, WOR, Patricia, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I love that dream because I jumped on it because I had a similar dream not too long ago. The wolf is representative of a loner and a survivor. However, every person, every object,
oh God, wait, every, Jesus, stop!
Every, I have dogs too. Everything in our dream is actually us. So when you
let's cut to the chase. What do you think my dream means, not yours, the two wolves?
I'm talking about your dream. I think that they are protectors because they represent solitude as well as survival.
Oh, okay. You're taking it the other way. These wolves were sent to me to protect me.
They are encircling you.
You know, when I was a little boy, I had repeated hallucinations of wolves. I never told anybody on the show this. I had repeated hallucinations and fear. I would try to go to sleep in my little youth bed in the Bronx, and I'd wake up like in a nightmare in a full sweat that wolves were sitting at the foot of my bed, and I was so frightened of them. I didn't know what it meant. Now they're back. Well, now the wolves are back. What are you saying? They're actually my protectors, not my enemies?
I am saying that it's very likely it's a protective symbol because those wolves are actually you. What the message I'm trying to impart to you is, it doesn't matter who's in your dream, whether it's an animal, a child, a deceased family member, every person in that dream is actually you taking on a different form.
Well, that's one way to look at dreams. Remember, I spent many years with psychics in the Fiji Islands collecting plants, and I sat many nights drinking kava kava with some of them, and some of them told me that our dreams are the opposite of what's going to happen. I heard them tell me that when I had some bad dreams over there. They said, pay no attention to them. They laughed at them. And they said, we believe that the dreams are actually the opposite of what's going to happen. So who knows what dreams really are, Patricia? I appreciate the kindness of your call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So we wake up, we look at the Drudge Report. Now it says that Mort Zuckerman, the fake conservative, has written speeches for Barack Hussein Obama. And I'm not shocked. I mean, if I woke up tomorrow and read that Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly had visited the White House secretly and had broken bread with Obama and had written speeches for him, I wouldn't be shocked. No, they'd sell it the next day. And if I read that the professor, the high school dropout professor on Fox, had gone to the White House and was actually a good friend of the Obamas, I wouldn't be shocked by anything. It would explain an awful lot, wouldn't it? Let's play. This is Mort Zuckerman, U.S. News and World Report. Listen to this now. Here it comes.
I voted for Obama. In fact, I helped write one of his speeches. We endorsed Obama.
Which speech?
I'd rather not go into that for the moment.
But get a lot of applause.
Not from the people I hoped would applause.
But having said that, Neil Cavuto, you ass kisser. Neil Cavuto, the butt kisser of Fox News. Why would you laugh at a thing like that, Cavuto? That's not laughable. You're a disgrace, Neil Cavuto. How could you laugh at a thing like that? It's why the country's ruined. It's because of spineless men like that who laugh when Zuckerman exposes that he's a quisling. He should have said, I'm shocked that you would admit that. But Mort Zuckerman, you know, just by listening to Mort Zuckerman and his forked tongue, you know what Mort Zuckerman is. What more do you need to know than Mort Zuckerman wrote a speech for Obama? What, you thought he was really a conservative because occasionally he wrote about lower taxes? He sounds like a classic Republican. Fiscal conservative, my foot.
Savage.
No socialist system can be established without a political police. Many of those who are advocating socialism or voting socialist today will be horrified at this idea.
That is because they are short-sighted. That is because they do not see where their theories are leading us. No socialist government conducting the entire life and industry of the country could afford to allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would have to fall back on some form of Gestapo.
Did you hear that? Free, sharp, violent speech would be banned by a socialist government, said Churchill. They would have to fall back on some sort of Gestapo. So the socialists under Brown did fall back upon the Gestapo, the thought police. But you know what's amazing to me is all these libs grew up in the 60s and 70s and said, oh, we're free, we're free, we're free, we don't believe in thought police. Well, it happened to someone in the American media, and you're not saying anything, you're not doing anything about it. I don't expect you to accept what I say, but you've got to understand you're next. You've got to understand that you're next. After months of legal wrangling, the new British conservative government keeps U.S. radio host Michael Savage on banned list. Read it on the Drudge Report if you think I'm making this up. It's a very big story. The question is, why? Someone wrote an email to the Washington Times after Jennifer Harper wrote her article, and here's what he said. Yet more evidence of why Britain lost its empire. They ban a political commentator like Savage, yet allow free rein to Islamic extremists who revile, threaten, and demonstrate against their troops returning from war, and who give a vile reputation to all other responsible British Muslims, but no ban on them. Mr. Savage, he says, should visit Ireland instead. It's much nicer anyway. Well, thank you. Thank you for the idea. Let's go to the callers. Vince in Norfolk, Virginia. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Vince?
Mike, I'm a liberal. I'm progressive. I've been a fan of yours for like 9-10 years now. And I really have no problem with the conservative or Republican agenda. I have to say, Bush ruined it for me, but I don't...
Vince, I can't hear you. Are you on a speakerphone? It's very hard for me to understand you. I'm sorry.
This is a little better. Anyway,
no, there's a very deep echo. All I got is that you're a liberal who's listened for 9 years, and yet you're a fan of the show, and that I didn't get the rest.
I'm sorry. I think the Bush ruined it for me. But out of all the conservatives, I think you're the closest to it. There's nothing wrong with conservative standards and viewpoints. I think they're the American standards.
They are. Borders, language, and culture. I mean, who could argue with that?
How can you argue with it? The problem is I don't think conservatives are real conservatives. I hear what you say. I think a lot of
Vince, I'm sorry. It's very bad phone quality. What you're saying is very high quality. How it's coming across is very low quality. Albany, New York. Matthew, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael. You asked a question in your last segment just before we got our local breakup here. What is it that you expect from the next David is what you asked. If you can help me out on that, I sure would like to elaborate.
When I was saying we need a King David to appear to unify the Tea Party movements and save America?
Yes, we do.
Let's start with borders, language, and culture. The first thing this unifier would do would be put troops on the border with Mexico. That's step number one. I mean, we already saw that some National Guardsmen were sent, but probably without bullets in their clips, okay? The first thing he does is he reasserts our borders, and we put actual border stations in of the border with Mexico. Number two, we end the trucks that are coming across on the superhighways from Mexico. George Bush put that in. Remember that? The superhighways?
Yes.
Remember that? How is that possible? How in the world is that possible? Trucks uninspected coming from Mexico? Unbelievable. That's number two. Language. All official business in the United States must be conducted only in English. All ballots in the United States will only be printed in English. That's language. I mean, do I have to go any further than that? Those two acts alone would save the country.
This is true, Michael. However, my solution is high, cut, and dry. If you cross that border, you better be going to the Department of Immigration, going through the proper channels, having the proper paperwork done, learning how to speak English. Otherwise, you're instantly deported. And furthermore...
Why do you think Obama and Holder are taking the sides of the Mexican government and the illegal aliens who are invading this nation instead of the American people who are opposed to them? Why would a government take the side of invaders rather than the side of the population? How in the world could this happen to this country? Why would an American conservative broadcaster be banned in England? It's the same mentality. Don't you understand? It's the New World Order.
Pittsburgh, PA. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you're right on again and again. That Cavuto is the worst kind of brown noser, and he says it in such a way that he cons people constantly, like he is the best, but I don't know.
No, I'm appalled. Here's Mort Zuckerman, Quisling Zuckerman, goes on Fox News and says to Neil Cavuto that he wrote speeches for Obama, and Cavuto laughs like it's a good thing.
He is the worst kind. We had those back in high school and in grade school.
I hear you. Actually, no, that kind of guy is very dangerous because, again, he's on a conservative network, and Fox is the best we have. And you would expect him to stand up for something other than caving into Mort Zuckerman.
Yeah, you're.
Thank you for the call. Fort Lauderdale, Florida, my favorite place for heat. Kim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. It's good. It's so good to talk to you. It's gone storming into Berlin, sir, to hey, we give in a generation. I mean, I'm from the Bronx originally. I'm brutally honest, sir, and being brutally honest is a lonely proposition, okay?
Well, it is a lonely proposition. You tend to alienate even your friends.
Absolutely. I find that I speak to, I work with the you know, patrons I serve. And when I speak, I find out who my friends are. I find out who the intelligent people are, the people that are listening. I mean, this is a dictator in thief, minus the tater, sir. Excuse me.
Well, Kim, look, the thing is this. Who has the time to mince words when we're living in times that are so upside down? Do we have the time to mince words about a socialist government that takes the side of an invading population when 60, 70, 80% of the American people do not want them here? How in the world could you not understand what's going on when you have a government that sues a state that tries to stand up for itself?
Disgusting. It's disgusting. The IRS is now the IRSS, sir.
Why don't you take a look at Florida? Tell me about the crime in Florida and who the predominant purveyors of crime are in Florida. You know and I know who they are. Mm-hmm. You know and I know most of them are illegal aliens from a certain country. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I actually...
Go ask the police. Go ask the police who they have to get into shootouts with in Florida, in South Florida. Ask them about the violent gangs coming in from certain wonderful neighboring nations, and they all have AK-47s. The police are using 9mm. They're in a war zone in Florida.
Absolutely right on. You're absolutely...
Thank you. No, I know what's going on. You talk about brutal honesty. Sarasota Mary, welcome to the show. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I was calling. I was very concerned about your dream. And
Let me ask you this before we go on. Are you at all an expert in dream analysis?
Well, I've had quite a lot of experience with dreams from God myself.
All right. Well, go on. Okay, then let's just take it as that. Go ahead, please. I met you in the street, told you I had a dream of two black wolves circling me. What does it mean?
I would be very concerned for you, especially with what you're going through. The dream, I do believe, was from the Holy One of Israel himself, warning you and wants to protect you. Those two wolves are two very evil people who are encircling you and wish to devour you. You are their prey, and they want to get rid of you. I don't mean literally physically, but they want you. They want to get rid of you. They are.
Well, the two wolves are the United States government and the British government. Would that work?
That would work. And you can already see it forming. You know, you can see, you know, what you were talking about earlier, that, you know, those are two gigantic enemies that you've got that you're fighting against. And these people...
Well, what is the classic way to chase away a wolf?
Well, this is what you do. This, when the Lord gives you a dream like that, this is from God Almighty, you go to His Word. You pray to Him for His protection. This is what always I do. You go to Him, to His Word. You go and you pray Psalm 91, Michael, from the Old Testament. That is the greatest psalm of protection. The Israeli army prays that. The Israelites prayed that.
How does it go? Do you have it handy with you? I don't know that one.
It is the one that says, the angel of the Lord encamps about those who fear him. It is the one that that just talks about the angels encircling about you. That the total, it just gives you total protection from enemies. He hides you under the shadow of his wings. It's just such an amazing, powerful, you will feel his power.
That's very beautiful. I can hear it in your voice that you're a very spiritual woman.
I am. I love the Lord with all my heart and soul. He has protected me from such amazing things. I just can't tell you. And he warns me in dreams, and I see it. I see things happen, and I think, oh, my God.
I had thought, to get very pragmatic, that with the incoming administration in England, I didn't expect much of a change. But I thought that a thing so repugnant as this in a nation of free people would be immediately overturned. But little did I know, I woke up today to the opposite.
I know. It's outrageous. And again, all I can say, I just never call in radio shows, but I listen to you, and I just went crazy when I heard this dream. I said, oh my God, he's got to know this. He's got to know this.
Let me say this. Look, Mary, stay on the line. I'm going to send you a copy of the last remaining copies of Banned in Britain. I only have a number of them in inventory. They're only available on michaelsavage.com, and I want you to have one of the rare copies, because I'm not reprinting this book. I want to put it behind me, but apparently, you know, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in again, to use a bad joke. But I see Newt Gingrich is talking again about running for president. I mean, Newt Gingrich is like the oil spill in the Gulf. He just keeps on spreading his blarney. Doesn't this man stop? Can't he go away? Can he not stop? Do you know that there's no better way to reelect Obama than to have Newt Gingrich run for the presidency as a Republican? If they want to condemn themselves to a going down in flames, that's all they got to do is elect him. It's unbelievable to me. They've learned nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Well, let's keep the callers going here on the Savage Nation. Las Vegas, Dave, thank you for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
I wanted to call you, and I go over to England a couple of times a year for work, and I work with a bunch of salesmen that live in obscure areas. None of them live in London proper. And, you know, when you spend a lot of time in a car with guys and you talk to them about different things, a lot of subjects come up, and certainly you were one of them. And let me give you a couple of tidbits that these guys gave me. He says, now, one guy I worked with in Liverpool in May, he said, you know, he says, we have conservative talk radio here. He says, you get them talking about Muslims all the time. He says, our Muslim problem is your illegal alien problem with the Mexicans in the States. He says, we brought them over to work in restaurants. They brought them over to London. And they, because the Londoners are so prim and proper, they couldn't belittle themselves to go work in that industry. And they procreated, but they didn't stay in London. They moved to all these other towns like Stansted. You go to Stansted Airport, and that's all you've got in there is hand on baggage is Muslims. I mean, they've gone to all these different areas that he says to me that these members of the House of Lords and Commons are so scared. He asked me, he said, do you ever watch the pro, you know, House of Lords? You get that back there? I said, yeah, I get the BBC on C-SPAN on Sunday night.
Right.
He said, I catch it once in a while. He said, these guys are so scared because these Muslims are living in their neighborhood, and they some of them can't even go out at night without private security.
Well, how much more do you have to see than a nation that brings home their war heroes, and they give them a parade, and the Muslims are calling them murderers and spitting at them and saying they should die, and they don't throw the Muslims in jail for that?
Nobody did anything to take issue with it. Did you notice how when you watch the BBC, you don't have the House of Commons or the
House but of they Lords. Say that they're banning Michael Savage because my words, they claim, might provoke intra-community violence. How about the words of the Muslims that say that Sharia law will become the norm in the land, that England will fall? Would you think that those words have provoked intra-community violence, such as the National Front and the skinheads who are ready to riot in that country and ready to kill?
Well, I asked him about you. And he said he had some thoughts on it. He said, you know, you get mentioned once in a while because now you're a subject over there. You get mentioned on talk radio. And he said, your subject is on radio that it basically, if Cameron did anything to revoke this, he said they fear that you know, your name would be so out there in the mail and the and the other newspapers that it would stir some uprising in these Muslim communities. And these Muslim communities are in the middle of communities that have Italians, that have Irish.
Mm-hmm. Well, how come there's no uprising in the so-called British communities in favor of Michael Savage? How come there's no uprising from the descendants of those who built Britain? What, have they suddenly lost their nation to the invader?
Yes, they absolutely have. Because I said to him, why are these guys in the House of Commons and the House of Lords? Why are they afraid? He said, because you don't hear him talking about Muslims. He says, you can't, these guys are so afraid at night for their families. He says, it's a powder keg. And he says,
okay, so they're surrounded by terrorists, so they're taking now the side of the terrorists. That's great. That's called capitulation to the enemy, isn't it?
It's a cancer, Mike. It's a powder keg, and no.
Is it any different here?
No, but you know where.
No, you have a state of Arizona that takes on the issue of illegal immigration, which is somewhat different but similar in some regards, and the federal government takes the side of the invading hordes from Mexico. How does that work?
Well, the population in this country. You've got them in New York. You've got Muslims in New York. You've got Muslims in Washington area and Maryland area, and you've got them in the Detroit area.
Washington, have you been to the airport to Dulles recently? Have you seen who the TSA agents are in Washington?
I've been flying out of Reagan.
Oh, well, you haven't seen them recently. If you find one without a burqa, send me a postcard. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Save the Queen. After months of legal wrangling, the new British government keeps U.S. radio host Michael Savage on the ban list. See the link on the Drudge Report, Right to the World, and Daily Article. Read the whole story. Conservative Party administration demands repudiation of Savage's so-called statements. Savage today called his ordeal a true nightmare of Kafka. He said the new British government continues the big lie initiated by the previous British government, all based on extracts of radio programs over many years edited by Soros-backed Media Matters to slander me, he told WND. Savage said that after over one straight year of legal hell, I had hoped the new British government would remove my name from their list of actual murderers and terrorists. Apparently, there's been a change of window figures in England, he said. Savage said his next course of action might be to take his case before the European Court of Human Rights. He said the European Union seems to be very forgiving of those who have actually murdered people in terror acts, Savage said. Let's see if they will defend my right of free speech. Read all about it. MichaelSavage.com has the whole story. You can still buy Ban in Britain if you prefer. You can sign the petition. It costs you nothing. You can buy a copy of the book, whatever. The legal fund is still there. I'm not going away. No, siree. I've just begun. Let's quickly go to Robert. Robert, I have 30 seconds. Fire away. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, I wanted to touch on when you said you were a kid and had the wolf dreams or premonitions or whatever.
Right.
You mentioned once before that there was a white wolf. Even though you were afraid of him, it was comforting that he was there. He was like your protector. And I definitely think the black wolves are not your protector. They are definitely the bad. And I think the white wolf came when you were at a point you were ready to almost give up, and he was there going, well, are you going to keep fighting? Because I'm still here. He was going to back you up if you wanted to keep fighting.
Yeah, well, here come the white wolves. Where are they?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Yeah.
days of old, but there's no England now.
Is there anything that you have said or any of your views that you think might provoke people into violence?
Let me clear the record on that. Jackie Smith's homepage on the Home Secretary's page states that my words have led to violence, which is a total fabrication. None of my words have ever led to violence for the simple reason that I don't call for violence. I don't provoke violence. And moreover, I want to say that provoking violence is illegal in the United States as well. How in the world can she allege that my words have caused violence while I'm still on the air all these 15 years?
Well, if you read the Drudge Report this morning, it happened again. We've gone from freedom of speech to greedom of speech. Savage banned by new conservative UK government. Now, today is a day that I feared was coming. I feared that when the so-called conservatives took over in England, it probably would mean that nothing would change. Today, I was proven right. Today, I, Michael Savage, was told by new Conservative Party-led government of Prime Minister David Cameron that will continue to ban my entry into the United Kingdom. Apparently, there's been nothing more than a change of window figures in England. All governments are essentially amoral. I had hopes, but did not expect this new UK government to restore sanity to Britain. They are still pandering to the Muslim masses. To continue to martyr me by including me on a list of known murderers and terrorists is bad enough. But for the US and Western media, which considered itself progressive, to continue to ignore this outrage against freedom of speech is indicative that the media and governments are one and the same. Now, this includes the so-called conservatives, Rush. Has freedom of the press become greedom of the press, Sean? And Bill, let this be a lesson to you and to anyone who thinks that if the Republicans get in this November, Bill and Sean and Rush, that there'll be any real change. Let this serve as a reminder that the Republicans will continue most of the same destructive policies that Obama started, because he was only continuing what Bush had started. And let this serve as a warning to any member of the media, especially the so-called conservative media, who think that their freedom of speech will flourish under a Republican Congress or a Republican administration. The silence of big conservative media outlets has been deafening. Now, it may have started in England, and it may have started with Michael Savage, but it's coming to America, and you're their next target. Free speech will die unless the conservative media wakes up and realizes that its life is at stake in this case. They can't ignore Michael Savage for selfish reasons and for competitive reasons, but doing so will ultimately come back to bite them at a very high cost. This is the Savage Nation, from freedom of speech to greedom of speech. Savage banned by the new conservative UK government. That's after a whole year of waiting. With England's so-called Conservative Party continuing the ban on Michael Savage, I want you to remember how this started. Listen to how I reacted when talking with a BBC reporter last year.
I was shocked, angered. How in the world could I be linked with known murderers, people who have been put in prison for years for killing people, people who espouse the overthrow of your government, openly, when I am simply speaking, talking for 15 years on the radio, writing best-selling books? It was shocking to believe this is coming out of England, a country I've always loved and admired, specifically for its freedoms.
Of course, the Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, has said that the reason you were banned is because the things that you say foment hatred, engaging people in spreading hatred as well. What do you say to the reasons behind the ban?
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. There are millions of people who agree with me, not only in America, but around the world. Now, you can take sound bites from an individual and turn them into anything you want. But if you actually listen to what I said about these things, it might be a different individual that you're hearing. I don't know which show Jackie heard or when she heard it, but I'm not broadcast in England. So obviously she was given some selected sound bites by individuals who detest my points of view and are trying to skewer me. That's not freedom of speech, nor is that fair.
Well, Smith is gone now, but her replacement is just as much of a leftist as our predecessor. But some in Parliament were shocked. Here's Conservative Member of Parliament Michael Fabricant 1 year ago.
Well, notwithstanding the Home Secretary's answer, she will be aware that the things of which she accuses Mike Savage is equally illegal in the United States of America, and he has not faced prosecution there. So does she realise how ludicrous her ban is? Does she realise the disrepute she has put this country in the eyes of many right-seeing people and indeed left-seeing people in the United States of America? And does she equally plan to ban Howard Stern, Rush Limbaugh, and other middle-aged, white, ordinary American radio presenters?
Of course, CNN interviewed me. I went on the attack as soon as they heard.
It's British Home Secretary Jackie Smith saying that you're on this list that we've been talking about because you are someone who, quote, has fallen into the category of fomenting hatred of such extreme views and expressing them in such a way that's actually likely to cause inter-community tension or even violence if that person were allowed in the country. What's your response to that?
It is demented. That's a demented attitude. We are protected by the First Amendment, number one. They are not. And the First Amendment, as we all know, was written to protect offensive speech, not polite speech. Let's begin with the basics. But more than that, she lumped me in with known murderers and terrorists, people who have been in prison for killing people. I am a talk show host and an author. The fact of the matter is I've been on the air for 15 years, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. I have never, ever promoted violence. There has never been one violent incident attached to my show.
That's the absolute truth.
There's a lot of British people that have never heard of you before. They didn't know Michael Savage. They didn't know your radio show before this, that are now going to be logging on the internet, clicking on, listening to you. So, I mean, this has got to help ratings in some way.
It's not about ratings. I'm at a point in my life where ratings don't matter to me one way or the other. I could leave radio tomorrow and I wouldn't have a different lifestyle than I do today. People have to understand that I believe in what I say. Borders, language, culture is the real message of the Savage Nation. Borders, language, culture. I'm a traditional American. I'm a patriotic American. And if that's a crime in England, God help us all.
Well, we got loads of callers. I'd like to get a few out of cities like Boston, New York, Atlanta. Florida would be nice. Chicago would be nice. Seattle would be nice. Portland would be nice. San Diego would be nice. This is a national show, after all. Heard on hundreds and hundreds of radio stations, 8 to 10 million listeners a week. I'll be right back.
Savage.
England's continued ban of Michael Savage is outrageous. But let's not forget about what Obama is doing to America right here at home. His nominee for the Supreme Court, Elena Kagan, has been praised as a moderate and friendly. Has even been praised by the empty skirts on news broadcasts as having no paper trail. I've exposed that as ridiculous. So it should come as no surprise that Elena Kagan is a liberal nominee coming from a liberal president with liberal leanings. This includes her stance on gun rights. Speaking to us from the Heritage Foundation is Brian Darling, who has been researching Elena Kagan's relationship with the Second Amendment. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Thanks, Michael. The fact of the matter is that Elena Kagan, President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court, is hostile to the Second Amendment. It's clear she's had a lifetime full of activism against gun rights. And in her testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee, we heard more evidence that proves that she's going to be somebody who's going to go in the court and vote to take away every American's right to keep and bear arms. Now, let's look at her career in anti-gun activism. In 1987, Elena Kagan was a clerk to Justice Thurgood Marshall, and she wrote a memo to her boss in a case dealing with gun rights. And the plaintiff in that case had argued that he had his Second Amendment rights taken away. And in that memo from Elena Kagan to Thurgood Marshall, a Supreme Court justice, she wrote that she had no sympathy, quote, no sympathy for the claim of that individual. There was no legal analysis contained in that document saying why she had no sympathy, no legal basis for it. And this is back in 1987, maybe only one piece of evidence. But fast forward to Elena Kagan when she was counsel for former President Bill Clinton. And she was a central player in the Clinton administration's efforts to restrict gun ownership nationwide. Now, the LA Times had a report a few months ago that talked about how gun control efforts were a hallmark of the Clinton administration, and Kagan was front and center in that effort. You look fast forward again to Solicitor General Elena Kagan, and she was Solicitor General. She is Solicitor General right now for President Obama, and she was appointed just over a year ago. She decided not to file a brief in the case McDonald versus Chicago. And this is a landmark case, one of the most important cases in our lifetime that incorporated the Second Amendment against the states. Now, in her capacity as a clerk to a Supreme Court justice, as a counselor to President Clinton, and a Solicitor General of the United States, she's had a long life and history of anti-gun activism. But that's not where it ends. All we need to do is look towards the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings and a testimony that Kagan provided for even further evidence that she will go on that court and take away Americans' right to keep and bear arms. She repeatedly dodged questions from Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa about her views and her right to keep and bear arms. Grassley pressed her hard. She responded saying, quote, "I know that the scholarship in this area has suggested that there's a very strong view that there's an individual right under the Second Amendment." Now listen to that statement. When you listen to it, you hear there is a very strong view, not her view, but a very strong view. She repeatedly distanced herself from anything like any ideas that sounded like she was supporting the Second Amendment. She ran away from those cases. She cited the Heller case, which decided that the Second Amendment's an individual right, and she cited the McDonald case that incorporated the Second Amendment against the states, but she never did anything more than that. She just cited existing case law for the argument that she will uphold existing law. But here's another piece of evidence where we really should be worried that Elena Kagan's going to go in the court and take away our gun rights. Just look back to Justice Sonia Sotomayor. When she came before the Senate Judiciary Committee, she said the same thing. It's almost as if she was a carbon copy in her testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Then she gets on the case and she writes and signs onto an opinion that states, quote, "The use of arms for private self-defense does not warrant federal constitutional protection from state regulation." So Sonia Sotomayor went before the Senate Judiciary Committee. She promised she was going to uphold the Second Amendment. She promised she'd respect the Heller case. Then she signed onto an opinion in the McDonald case that was before the Supreme Court that argued that the Heller case should be vacated and that the Second Amendment is a mere nullity. It's shocking. It's amazing. And senators really need to take their duties seriously. The Constitution gives the Senate the rights to advise and consent. And the consent part is very important because it provides senators a power to filibuster if they think the president's nominated somebody who's going to get on the bench and take away Americans' right to keep and bear arms or any other right for that matter. This is a shocking nomination. It should be, Americans should be saddened that their senators aren't standing up against this nominee and fighting harder, because she is a clear and present danger to our rights as Americans, our God-given natural right to have a firearm to protect ourselves when we get attacked.
But with the way that the media is portraying Elena Kagan and how out of touch our senators are, what's this mean to the average guy on the street?
Well, we the people need to stand up, talk to our members of Congress, because they're so walled off. They're elitists, Republicans and Democrats. They live in another world. The Senate is a club of 100. They're all buddies and pals, and they stand around the Senate floor and pat each other on the back and talk about their wife and kids. But they're not that in tune to their own constituents. They're only up for election every 6 years. And many of these senators have said things that show that they care more about what other senators think about them. They care more about what the president thinks about them than their own constituents. It is shocking that when the American people, polling indicates the American people don't really like Elena Kagan, they really don't like the federal government. They absolutely hate their members of Congress. And yet these members of Congress continue down the same road. They don't want to be confrontational to Elena Kagan. They want to be nice, which is, I understand that, but you need to be tough. I mean, we're putting somebody on the United States Supreme Court for a lifetime appointment. Elena Kagan's young. She could serve another 40 years on the bench long after President Obama's out of office, yet she could do lasting harm to the Second Amendment, to the First Amendment, to our rights as Americans. There's another emerging issue of her expansive view of the Commerce Clause, and basically what that means is that Elena Kagan thinks that the federal government can do whatever they want. There's no limits to the power of the federal government. Tom Coburn asked a question of her if he introduced a law and the law was passed by Congress. It forced all Americans to eat 3 servings of vegetables and 3 servings of fruit every day. Would that be okay? Would that be constitutional? She ran away and dodged the question. She wouldn't answer it because it goes to the core of Obamacare, the individual mandate. So this is a nominee that believes in vastly expanded federal powers and does not believe that Americans have a natural right to keep and bear arms.
From what we've heard from Senator Sessions and Coburn, is there a chance that Kagan can be defeated?
And with all the terrible members of the Senate right now, there are a couple heroes that we need to look to. Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina is a hero to all Americans. He will stand up and fight this nomination. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, the ranking member, asked very tough questions, and he did a great job during the hearings, as did Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma. I think there are a handful of senators that are going to dig in their heels and fight this one as hard as they can. But the problem is that there aren't enough senators that respect the Constitution, not enough senators that really take the advise and consent oath of office seriously. They're not willing to stand up and tell the president no. They have the power to do so, but many of them are unwilling to do that, even though the American people want to see that happen. They don't like President Obama. He's not a popular president right now, and if he nominates somebody to the court that's unacceptable, senators have the power to just say no, and it's sad that not enough senators seem to be willing to do that right now.
Okay, Brian. Brian, darling, thank you for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks again for having me on, and keep fighting the good fight for freedom.
This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
We're shocked, angered. How in the world could I be linked with known murderers, people who have been put in prison for years for killing people, people who espouse the overthrow of your government, openly, when I am simply speaking, talking for 15 years on the radio, writing best-selling books? It was shocking to believe this is coming out of England, a country I've always loved and admired, specifically for its freedoms.
Savage banned by the new conservative UK government. Now, the first big article on this that came out was from my good friend Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily. Then the wonderful Jennifer Harper of the Washington Times wrote the story. And I want to thank Matt Drudge for posting the WorldNet Daily article early today. Other than these three individuals, there's been a yawn from the big, big, big conservative media. We have not heard from Breitbart, Rush, Hannity, O'Reilly. You name it, we haven't heard from them. So here's what Art Moore wrote for WorldNet Daily. Conservative Party administration demands repudiation of violent statements by Savage. The new Conservative Party-led government of Prime Minister David Cameron will continue the ban of the top radio host's entry to the UK. The UK Border Agency told Savage through a letter from the Treasury Solicitor's Office that his exclusion, I guess I can't get into that country club. I guess I could look at it as Groucho Marx, any country that would have me I wouldn't want to go to. But his exclusion from the UK that began last year under the Labour Party government of Gordon Brown will continue in the absence of clear, convincing, and public evidence that he has repudiated his previous statements. Now, I don't know whatever evidence they need because they already have it when you consider that The New Yorker wrote me up and others, and they know that I'm a man who loves peace. I don't know what evidence this new government would require. Today, Savage called his ordeal a true nightmare out of Kafka. He said, the new British government continues the big lie initiated by the previous British government, all based on extracts of radio programs over many years, edited by Soros-backed Media Matters to slander me, he told WorldNet Daily. Savage said that, quote, after over one straight year of legal hell, I had hoped the new British government would remove my name from their list of actual murderers and terrorists. Apparently, there's been a change of window figures in England, he said. Savage said his next course of action will be to take his case before the European Court of Human Rights. He said, the European Union seems to be very forgiving of those who have actually murdered people in terror acts, Savage said. Let's see if they will defend my right to free speech. We'll keep talking about this and other topics on the show today, but let's stop for a minute. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. I have so many good callers. Let me jump to them right now. New York, Tom, WOR, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
God bless you, Michael, as ever. Michael, I'm really wondering if Mother England is getting ready to jump to partner with the devil. First, they banned Michael Savage, a world and American patriot from Britain, and now they want to put the Holy Father in handcuffs. This is unacceptable, Michael.
What do you mean by the Holy Father in handcuffs? Oh, they want to arrest the Pope.
If he's foolish enough to go there, and who's calling the shots over there? Goodness or evil, Michael?
Well, I mean, you're asking me a philosophical question for which there's no answer. How do I know who's calling the shots? Probably somebody in Pakistan in a cave.
How could they even think about putting the Holy Father in handcuffs? That's outrageous. What's wrong with that country?
Well, let's have another discussion about merry old England, and it's one I want to have had for years. I've wanted to have for years. Why do they tolerate a royal family that doesn't work? Can anyone explain that to me?
Because they're just drunk on it, Michael. It's like the Kennedy kooks here.
Should England, a Western democracy, tolerate a leech royal family that does nothing but live off the largesse of thieving ancestors, to put it in plain English, since we're talking about England? So let's raise the question. Should the royal family, should the Queen, in other words, be, let's say, dismissed as a figure in England? What Western democracy has a queen or a king? You know, they're all leeches. They're parasites on the people. They don't work. You know, there's no point in getting any more about it, saying any more about it. Do they work? Do they do anything for the people? No. They're living on the past, which was all based upon plunder and exploitation.
Worship gods.
Well, that's an issue that, you know, years ago I used to hear, have this discussion. I would say, well, the Queen is an important figure. Why? Why is she important? What does she do for the people of England? Drive around in Rolls Royces, and the jerk Prince Charles paints pictures and talks about global warming. The guy is a lunatic. He has no knowledge of reality. At least one of his sons is in the military. I mean, he made an attempt to be a human being. Yeah, no one wants to talk about the Queen of England. Play God Save the Queen while I'm looking for the next story I want to talk about here. Could you play God Save the Queen?
God Save the Queen!
That's all.
The fascist regime!
Good.
It made you a moron. Potential hate bomb. God save the Queen. She ain't no human being. There is no future in England's dreaming.
See, the artists and poets get it right sometimes. I mean, the Sex Pistols were ahead of their time. Who would have thunk, huh? Would you have ever thought the Sex Pistols would be so brilliantly ahead of their time? I mean, even a junkie gets it right a couple of times in their life. All right, they got the point already. What do I have to tell you? What do I have to tell you? It's the sad state of affairs that we're living in a country. I don't know whose country it is. I know it's not mine. I know that I am not living in the America I grew up in, that I used to wake up in the morning and feel like the luckiest person on earth. My parents told me how the world was around me and how everybody wanted to come here. I used to wake up in the morning and feel lucky just to be an American when I knew how bad it was everywhere else on earth. And then I wake up one day and I start to feel, wait a minute, how did this country become almost like a third world nation? How did patriots in this country become suspect? How did deviants and other such individuals suddenly become revered? How is it that every movie that is made is not about a hero, but about a degenerate criminal? How is it possible that there are so many sick people in so many positions of power? How is it that every crime that is committed, the suspect is immediately a white male? How far have we fallen so fast in the United States of America? I ask myself every morning as I awaken and every night as I go to sleep. That's the truth. That's one man's opinion. If you don't agree with me, you know what? It's too damn bad. I'm an Aries, and I'll tell you the way I see it. If it matches, fine. If it's a blood donation that matches, take it as a transfusion. If it's a blood donation that causes toxicity, then go listen to some schmuck show on NPR where you get your daily dose of seditiousness and cowardice. Because I am sick and tired of mincing words. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now.
Well, notwithstanding the Home Secretary's answer, she will be aware that the things of which she accuses Mike Savage is equally illegal in the United States of America, and he has not faced prosecution there. So does she realize how ludicrous her ban is? Does she realize the disrepute she has put this country in the eyes of many right-seeing people and indeed left-seeing people in the United States of America? And does she equally plan to ban Howard Stern, Rush Limbaugh, and other middle-aged, white, ordinary American radio presenters?
I want to remind all of you listening to this show that I documented this entire battle over the UK ban in my book, Banned in Britain, which is only available on michaelsavage.com. It's time for you to grab a copy or take out your copy and reread it, because you will see that this decision to ban me was made at the highest level of government to use Michael Savage to provide balance to a least wanted list dominated by Muslim murderers and terrorists. Read it. You'll see the emails. Prime Minister Brown was directly involved. So was the Foreign Secretary. Now, there have been some politicians who have come to my aid, namely one, John Culberson of Texas. Other than him, nobody has written on my behalf. What's amazing to me is that the successor to the last administration of Home Secretary, Alan Johnson, at the time called the ban a terrible blunder and told the London Daily Mail he would scrap the policy of maintaining an enemies list. But it never happened. Never happened. Last November, Rep. John Culberson, R. Texas, the assistant Republican whip, urged Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to use her position to press the UK to grant Savage a travel visa immediately. Never happened. My lawyer sent a letter to the government which said the allegations are entirely false. At no time has our client provoked or sought to provoke others to commit crimes or serious criminal acts. Savage concluded, I want to thank the 85,000 people who have signed my petition and the thousands who have donated to the Savage Legal Fund, Savage said today. Yes, and you can still sign the petition because I'm still optimistic. I retain my optimism. They haven't stolen that from me yet. Now, Jennifer Harper's article is very interesting in that she takes it in a slightly different direction. Michael Savage still banned from UK. Let me read you some of the highlights from the Washington Times. Well, let's see. He's still on Britain's least wanted list. Talk radio host Michael Savage has waged a vigorous fight against the British government, hoping to have his name removed from a list of 16 undesirables banned from the country by then-British Home Secretary Jackie Smith. The list included Islamist terrorists, neo-Nazis, and Russian gang members. And Mr. Savage says he's still on a new version, despite his efforts to persuade British officials that his inclusion is unwarranted and unfair. Savage said, has freedom of the press become greeddom of the press? Savage's book, Banned in Britain, Beating the Liberal Blacklist, published in late 2009, represents the case that his name was included on the roster of public enemies in order to, quote, balance the list, which was primarily composed of Muslims. The talk radio host is also irked by the fact that Britain has issued an 8-page guide to officials that recommends they not use such words as Islamist, jihadi, and fundamentalist, and avoid making explicit links between Muslims and terrorism. Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. You decide for yourself. Michael Savage still banned from England. You know, there's a lot of people in the media, in the radio business in particular, who are crossing the line. They don't know who they are. You think Obama has a shapeshifter identity crisis. I can name three or four people in talk radio who are conservatives who have a bigger identity crisis than he does. If you took away a television camera from a few of them, they would go to pieces. They need to go into a mental hospital. if they ever turned the camera off and a few of these people wrapped themselves in the flag, they would go to pieces. It's the same with the microphone. See, I'm lucky because I started at age 50. I had many other professions before this, and believe me, I have many other avocations. I could collect plants. There's things I could do with my life if I left radio, or if radio left me, or if the government turned off the mic, so to speak. But you can't say that about people with the flag, that wrap themselves in the flag. You turn the camera off the hem, I guarantee the hem's in a nut house within 6 months. You turn the camera off Walby, Walby is in a nut house in 4 months. You turn the camera off corned beef, finished, over. They don't have lives, these people, in my estimation. But I do. I mean, I frankly do. Now, I'm getting to another point here. The point is this. The point is the fact that there are other lives other than the media. And I understand that. But here's the big problem. Many people in the conservative media, or the conservative side, if you want to call them that, and some do a good job. I don't know how much they believe in it. It's their business. I'm not here to second guess what a man believes in or doesn't believe in. Many of them have made the mistake of starting to think that they're Paul Revere or George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, and they want to be a congressman, or they get late at night and they can't sleep. They're jagged up from the TV, the camera. The makeup is causing an allergic reaction, and the wife doesn't want to be with them because they smell from the makeup or the hairdryer. So they lay awake and they think they're going to be a politician. They start imagining themselves another guy like the guy from Minnesota. I forget his name, the fat slob who failed on Air America, whatever his name is, the slob senator. Yeah, I know what his name. The slob senator who no one ever heard of. He made a big, big splash, and now the slob sank to the bottom of the pool. No one hears from him anymore. But many of them want to be a senator, Senator Wallbanger. They dream waking up. And Senator Wallbanger, what do you have to say? And Senator Cornbeef, what is it you have? Or Senator whatever. So they're crossing the line. And it reminds me of a character. I got to tell you the character. Do you remember the movie with Al Pacino, one of my favorite actors? I don't care what his politics are. I really don't care. Very talented, very convincing actor. Do you remember the movie where he plays the guy who comes out of jail and Swine Penn plays the kinky-haired lawyer? I know Carlito's Way. I'm trying to get the audience, Phil, to think out loud. Carlito's Way, a great movie. So there's a kinky-haired lawyer played by Swine Penn, who apparently was modeled so closely on a certain Harvard professor that the Harvard professor actually sued Swine Penn. I think the Harvard professor lost because it was so close to the sleazoid. Anyway, that lawyer character, the sleazy lawyer, opposite, who played by Swine Penn, opposite Al Pacino in Carlito's Way. So Carlito's Way is about, he's a Puerto Rican character, was a heroin dealer, a big one, comes out of prison, and he wants to go straight. Tries to do it straight. And he ties up with the lawyer. He likes the kinky-haired lawyer because the guy got him out of jail or whatever. And there's a scene where the lawyer pulls out a gun on an Italian in a nightclub over a woman. He pulls out a .32 handgun. And then Carlito, the character, pulls him on the side and says, "You crossed the line, man. You a lawyer," he says to him. "You're not a gangster. You a lawyer." Don't you remember that scene? And that reminds me of a few people in conservative talk radio who have crossed the line in their own mind. They don't understand that they're just talk show hosts. They're not politicians. They're not senators. They're not congressmen. They're not going to be president. They're only talk show hosts, good, bad, or indifferent. And they've crossed the line. But one thing with me, because I know who I am, because I'm a little older and I've been around and I have had other careers, I absolutely know who I am. It's not all great. I have a lot of warts. Believe me, I have a lot of warts. I know exactly who I am. I know exactly what I'm capable of, what I'm not capable of. And I'm not capable, or nor do I desire ever to be a politician or a community activist or a community organizer or lead a riot in front of a city hall with a bullhorn. And a lot of people in talk radio don't know that. And so they become the Zelligs of our time. You got people who once were hidden in closets somewhere with computers who are now running around with bullhorns, breaking into offices, stealing files. They don't even know what they're doing. They have no idea which side of the law they're on anymore. And they've lost all conceptualization of what they're doing. They think because they have self-righteousness, they're not breaking the law, even though they are breaking law in some cases. And this is a very dangerous game for some of these people to be playing. I've told some of them that in subtle and unsubtle ways, but they don't listen to me or to anybody else. They're like children. They're having a lot of fun. They love the acclaim. They love the Klieg lights. They love the attention, but they have no idea that they crossed the line. And like Al Pacino said, man, you crossed the line. You a lawyer. And I have one bit of advice to those of you in the media who are listening to me. You are a talk show host. You are a commentator. You are not a congressman. You are not a senator, and you will never be president. All right. Well, my attorney will be approaching the Obama administration very shortly and the State Department, demanding that they represent me with regard to England. And we're going to demand that they follow their own law. And if they don't, we're going to take it to the Supreme Court. And that's what we're going to do with the Savage Legal Fund. So sign the petition, because I'm going to say, here's where 100,000 names, 100,000 people. You think that's insignificant? Let me ask you something. Do you know anyone else who's gotten near 100,000 names on a petition recently? I don't. Go to michaelsavage.com and sign the petition, will you please?